Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Jason Peters on his way. A little bit stuck via the multiple road assignments in Lincoln.
As we heard yesterday, more to come.
Really?
Oh, yeah. From Todd Ogden.
They're going to do more construction?
Right here on O Street, in fact. So, should be an exciting project. I mean, not like it... isn't necessary or anything, but still going to be more construction. Listen, just what Lincoln
needs. The construction in Lincoln is not necessary. It's just not. You need to just table that the next year. But we got Jason Peter in for the last hour, Old School. A little bit of brisk out there, man.
I mean, I'm not going to curse. WTF Lincoln. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? You can't get downtown. On any of the streets that
right from where we come right. from, yeah.
See? I mean, everything is under construction. Is this the mayor? Is this that California mayor that we have? Huh? I mean, give me a break.
Hey,
in football season, you had all summer to do it.
See, Austin thought I was playing Jason when I used to tell him it's an extra 15, 20 minutes. But speaking of California, one of our favorite friends that used to play baseball out there. Before we get into football, our buddy Darren Erstad, for a punter, talks a lot of junk, all right, in everything, in ping pong. He's the greatest. He's the greatest former athlete in Lincoln after 50 or after 45. You know, he bikes and all this stuff. We got Tristan back there. He's a former baseball player. He knows. He's probably heard about Erstad. But Friday?
Yeah.
Was it Friday?
Yeah.
Before
the game.
Yeah, before the game. Tell everybody what happened to Mr. Erstad.
We just had to let him know that football is on top of the pecking order between football players and baseball players, especially when it comes then to alternate sports. Now, Erstad, he likes to talk a lot of junk on his golf. Let's just say they were an ofer throughout 18 holes. Yeah. Didn't win one hole.
Not one. Austin.
Straight up.
Z-E-R-O, no handicap, not one.
No handicap. No nothing. Just straight up demolished them.
Demolished them. Zero wins. Zero.
Dang.
Yeah. Zero. That I guarantee you, knowing Erstad, he probably ain't even slept since.
It wasn't 5 minutes till we got off the course, and then just hanging around. He moved the goalpost. Then it became hockey. Then it was you can't take me in hockey. I said, Darren, you go into the corner. You're not coming out. All right. Yeah. I go. I didn't just I've played hockey like you since we were little kids. You know. And I know he's a great hockey player too.
Yeah, but he still plays hockey, but maybe we sent him to full time dad hockey, got him off the golf course.
What we should do is maybe we'll purchase like a little golf camp he could go to work on his game.
Yeah, yeah. We gotta get him a little send him off and start him with like a Dave Pels. We need to send him to Dave Pels. Oh, Erstad's listening to his boy Duke, man. That two lefties. Hey, Austin. We beat the two lefties so bad, they wanted to play righty after that.
I am a lefty.
You are?
I would have been.
But you wouldn't have gone over. You wouldn't have went over. They did.
You've never seen me golf, and that's for a reason.
But you,
Number one, I'm not cool enough to get the invite. Number two, you would disown me.
You would fit right in with them. They got owned. But speaking of owning, Jason, I mean, obviously, Nebraska was able to get through Northwestern. Now, you have some familiarity with USC, at one point in time, living out there in California. Everybody's talking about the weather. You know more than anybody. Talk about how California kids potentially could be affected by, I don't know, mid-40s weather coming out here and the state of USC program coming here as well.
Yeah, I think it's a challenge for them to come out here, especially if it's cold. They're calling for what, like 40s, maybe even upper 30s
at
some point in the game. Wind. I always thought with the kids that I coached out there, especially the big kids, I think there was a softness to them.
Yeah.
So can't say, you know, that about every kid, just the ones that came across, you know, when I was out there on the field. Obviously there's been a ton of California kids that have been successful, right, whether cold weather or warm weather, but when you're not used to it and you got to go out there for the first time or second time, it becomes a challenge, without question. I mean, you know, it's no different, right, than the what people perceived when we would go down to Florida, yeah, right? But obviously Coach Osborne, it's, you know, I'm going to run you pretty much till you die in practice to make sure that we are conditioned no matter what the temperature is. But there were times, you know, I remember Arizona State being out there.
It was hot. Yeah.
It was like, I mean, we played that game late at night and it was still like 90, 95, 100 degrees out there. So it without question, can have impact. You know, that's why everyone always talks about, you know, being able to, which is great this day and age, if you're good enough and you get in that college football playoff and you can have teams then come into Lincoln in December. Oh yeah. What an advantage. But yeah, hopefully with the cold weather that will help us.
And what do you think the Nebraska do? I mean, you've seen a little bit of USC, you know, Lincoln Riley, we were down there a few years ago. So it's pretty much the same offense. Right. I mean, obviously a really good quarterback and receivers. Talk about from a D lineman's perspective, how important it is to dominate the game against that Lincoln Riley, you know, spread offense.
Yeah. I mean, this game will be won. I mean, like all games, right? They're one front seven on defense, offensive line,
right.
You know, the physicality, the team that's most physical will probably end up, you know, coming out victorious on this one. Especially with that weather, you're going to have to run the ball. You know, that's a misconception, I think, with Lincoln Riley's offense, is that they're just kind of slinging it all over the place.
Yeah,
but the reality is they want to run the football. And they've been effective at it, even with, you know, the injuries that they've had at running back. They've still been able to plug in three or four different guys and still have success. So, yeah, I mean, the defensive line is going to have to do a great job of maintaining their ground in there, shutting down the run, keeping this quarterback in containment, right? I mean, he doesn't want to run necessarily, but when he runs, he can run. So they're going to have to be sharp. They're going to have to be locked in. They're going to have to be fundamentally sound. They're going to have to tackle well. We've been, you know, dog, you know what, you know, at tackling this year. So we need to somehow get that together. It's going to be a test.
You know, they run for their run plays, obviously RPO, and that's just one thing. But in their like basic, or I call conventional run plays, they do run a lot of gap, right?
Right.
So they got linemen that can pull. Talk about that from you're preparing for that type of game. Talk about how much stress that could put on you as a D lineman, but then how do you counteract that and play well against guys? Is it pre-snap reads, getting in the hip pocket? Talk about what the defense line needs to do to play well against that type of run attack.
Yeah, anytime you have an offense that likes to pull guys, you got to get off on the ball, right? You can't sit there and wait. Obviously, if there's a weak link or two within the offensive line that maybe is giving keys, tips away, you know, whether run, pass, whatever it may be. A lot of these guys, the big guys, they kind of want to lean back a little bit if they're going to pull. The guy next to him may have more weight on his fingers.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that you got to pick up. Now, do you pick up on those things when you haven't had a ton of success, you know, when you're just kind of fighting to stay alive out there like our guys have? I don't know if they've gotten to that point where they're so confident in what they're supposed to be doing that now you can look for additional tips and stuff like that. You know, that remains to be seen whether or not, but anytime you have a line that likes movement and likes to get guys pulling around the outside and up inside, whatever it may be. You got to be able to get off the ball. You know, if you can, you just get in the hip pocket of the guy that's pulling and, you know, grab onto that jersey, let him pull you through there and then ultimately make the play. But, you know, the guys that are on the opposite side of where they're pulling, now those guys, now it's time to see, you know, what you're made of,
right?
You know, because when you got 200-300-pound plus guys that are coming on counter and you're that defensive end.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
You can't just stand there and wait for those guys to get out to you. You got to go down there and blow that up, you know, just maybe after it gets past the center,
right?
You know?
Yeah, we saw that play where the DN, and once he saw the tight end block down, I mean, he rocked the guard.
Yeah.
One thing that I saw from Notre Dame that was interesting, and we saw this, I was talking to Austin a lot with Ty Nash and Tony White's first year, where they would run, you know, tie down, TT stunt. And I think that's a merge now against spread offenses. But talk about the importance when you're running, you're the looper. Because remember last time we were down in Oklahoma, the looper, forget who it was, number 97, went too wide and Caleb, you know, they hit it up there. Talk about the importance of, you know, looping tight and then keeping your pad square to be effective against the run.
So to start with, anytime you have like a tackle or nose stunt on, and when I say tackle or nose, it's just, you know, whether the tackle's going first or the nose is going first, but the other guy is looping. Number one, you got to recognize before you loop, if you're the looper, you got to recognize if you have hard action coming your way, then you got to, it's off. The stunt's got to be off, right? Yeah. Like you got to maintain, if you're lined up in, you know, a two technique or even a three technique and that guard is trying to reach you to the outside, then you don't loop, right? You stay and you play that block right there. And everybody else will just kind of adjust. Yeah. But if you are looping, good defensive lineman will know kind of where that point is going to be kind of before, you know, the play already runs. Like you got to count on the nose or the tackle kind of penetrating and you want to be tight right off of his butt. If you get too looped, then you create a seam in there that ultimately, you know, gives a back a two way go on you, which makes it much more difficult. But when you kind of come from tight off the butt, now the angles are in our favor again.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, you know, penetration. That's always been the kryptonite to Lincoln Riley's offense, whether it's run or pass. Talk about how important it is, because I'm just thinking about at times, you know, there's different units at Nebraska that some games they don't play well. And I was just thinking about, I was actually talking to my dad today about it when we played up at Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were dominating that game and then they kind of got some late passing yards, but it was a little bit of an issue until we decided as a front seven to really start to dominate, to make it. And then when we got into the bowl game, obviously against Peyton Manning, we pretty much shut them down. Talk about the importance of, number one, the penetration against the spread offense and what it does, not only for the defense, but for them mentally. And then talk about leadership, because you were a captain, you and Grant were captains that year. How it is that, like, you know what, we can raise our game and we bring everybody else with us. Because I think that's important when you start to finish four games into November.
Yeah, and it was funny because this morning I was at the gym and just kind of, you know, thinking of stuff, and the leadership thing came up, and I was thinking, you know, like we have these captains, right? But, you know, they're kind of like team captains, and yeah, we had team captains, but, you know, for the most part, like Grant and I, you know, our senior year, we were kind of the defensive captains, right. You know, like Aaron Taylor and Vershawn, you know, they kind of handled offense. Like you got enough on your plate with just trying to keep, you know, your side of the ball motivated. And do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, I know what that means. Yeah.
And sometimes I think, like, you know, like it wasn't often like that I would go down to the offense, you know, once we came off the field, you know, you might see him on the way to the bench or whatever and be like, hey, let's go, you know, like kind of crank this thing up. But for the most part, you know, you kind of kept to your own side of the football. You know, obviously in the locker room beforehand, that's a different story, but like out on the field, it was like, all right, you know, Grant and I, you know, defense, Rashawn, AT, you know, they'll handle the offense. And, you know, I don't know if that's how they're operating. But yeah, I mean, I think it'd make it a lot easier if it was just kind of like, okay, you got, you know, Dylan on offense, and I'm not even sure who the other guys are that are captains.
Sierra's probably on defense. Yeah.
And I know they've been talking a lot about, you know, Sierra's impact and everything. And nothing wrong with a little guy kind of being a leader. You know, there have been plenty of great, you know, little guys that have been leaders before. You would like to see a big guy as well start to step up.
A Javon Wright type of guy.
Somebody, yeah. It just has a little more impact when it's a big guy that is kind of demanding something out of the rest of the group. I forget, what was the first part of the question?
The how penetration is the key to stopping Lincoln Riley's offense, or part of it. You know, obviously there's you gotta tackle well and all that stuff.
I mean, ultimately that's what it is going to come down to. I think, you know, you're going to have to do everything well in a game like this. Wouldn't you say this is the biggest game of the year at this point
for Nebraska? This is it. This is. I mean, it's do or die.
Who else? Like Iowa on the schedule is they're 6-2 and they seem to maybe. I mean, they annihilated
Minnesota. That game was over. You might well just leave at halftime,
right? I mean, they annihilated them. You know, you're gonna have to be fundamentally sound. You're gonna have to do all the little things right. You're gonna have to keep composure on the sidelines. There might be times where you're down by 10 or 14, and to give our guys credit, they have been down in those situations and have figured out a way. Special teams is going to be huge again. Right. I mean, you look at the impact that they've had so far on this season, and you know, at least two wins.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah. Big hand in the last three,
at least two wins. Yeah. They're 4-4 without Mike Eckler and the change at special teams, I think. So, they're going to have to do a good job. And penetration, getting there, they're going to have to be cautious, though. You know, you can't just run up the field. Obviously, they'll run. They have a screen game, you know, package and stuff like that. And then just any time that, like we talked about, you got a quarterback that's got wheels on them, you got to be cautious of that. Everybody's got to stay in their rush lanes. You got to run those nose and tackling those TE stunts, you know, they all have to be run the correct way. Like there is not a lot of room
for error,
in this game.
And that's what, I mean, I was talking, talking to my dad. I was like, man, I like these games though.
Yeah.
Because I like the one that's all on the line. It kind of reminds me when we kicked Darren Airster at that, you know, it's all, but I wanted to ask you, you mentioned special teams and it just popped in my head. When you were at Carolina, was Bates there? Michael Bates?
Yeah.
There? So,
yeah.
Michael Bates was the Olympic sprinter, really good returner with New Orleans. And now that Nebraska special teams is back, kind of like when we played at Nebraska, but I know in the pros, I know when I played special teams and I knew Michael Bates is over there, he's like, hey, you better be on it because he gets one little lane.
He's gone.
Talk about what it's like to be, I guess, on defense or offense and knowing that you have legit returner now. You know what I'm saying? And how that can kind of change your mindset.
Yeah. And we also had Rocket too.
Yeah.
Who returned punts and stuff. But yeah, I mean, those guys, I mean, they changed the game.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was fun watching guys like Michael Bates and Rocket, because if they just a little crack, you know, in that punt team running down or that kickoff team running down, and boom, they were gone.
Right.
And you know how much faster and harder things hit at that next level, right? Like, that was the biggest difference for me. Like, you know, in college, you kind of had time to, you know, you get your hands on the offensive lineman, you kind of get a feel for, okay, he's blocking me this way or blocking me that way, kind of, you know, throw him off, and there you go, you make the play. In the NFL, it's almost like you got to assume, not you don't want to guess, obviously, but, you know, it's like you don't get that half an extra second. You know, it's like that ball is hitting that much faster.
Right. You know? I always tell people that the difference between college and the NFL is open and closes a lot faster. Yeah. But every play is made for somebody to make a mistake, and then the running back's getting paid a lot, at least when we played, to hit their head on the goalpost.
Yeah.
And sometimes you learn, you know, the hard way. We got about 2 or 3 minutes. I wanted to ask you about, you were here before I got here, and obviously we were able to be on the championship teams. And I think Nebraska, obviously, by no means is obviously, you know, potentially going to win a championship, or they might be great if they did. But I think there's steps to becoming, in our case, national champions. They're trying to become like nationally, like
relevant,
15 or whatever. Right. Talk about that jump, because I think it's hard, because I think fans expect you to go from 6-6 to 15-0,
right?
Or 14-0. Yeah. Talk about the process of the offseason. And then I was able to come in 94, but you had to be here before. And you knew what Christian was here and going through before too.
Yeah. I mean, we were fortunate that we came in where leadership had really kind of been established and the work ethic had kind of really been established. So, you know, being, you know, getting here as a freshman, you kind of go through everything, you know, that all freshmen go through. And it's like 2 weeks in, you know, you're second guessing whether or not you're even able to do this at this level. You know, but most guys go through that first time being away from home, you know, new people, new teammates, new coaches, all that stuff. But eventually you just kind of, you know, you get adjusted and you know, that becomes kind of your new family. But, yeah, it was, you know, it was, you always thought you worked hard, you know, even in high school or whatever, you know, to become a guy that, you know, all these schools are offering you scholarships to. But then you get here and you realize your work ethic is nothing compared to what it needs to be. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and then especially like for us, you know, like, and not that Charlie was the only one that made people work. Charlie, you know, would let you certainly know if you weren't working hard enough. And even when you thought you were working hard, there was a good chance that he was telling you you were still half-assing it. So it was, I mean, they drained, like, T.O. and that coaching staff got every bit of juice out of us that they could possibly get out of us.
I do have to ask on the work ethic thing. Jay Foreman is on record on this radio show for saying he wasn't introduced to the weight room really throughout his redshirt year.
When I got here, Jason, to tell you, I was skinny.
Yeah, it was about... What 200, 205?
If that. First of all, Jason's being nice. I remember we were texting one time and we were talking about arms. He was like, yeah, you had those pencil arms. I was getting thrown out the club when I was a redshirt freshman.
But, you know, that was what they looked for back then. They wanted, you know, guys that could run. That was the most important thing, right?
Also, like the slew-footed guy.
Yeah.
But if you don't have guys that can run, and I mean, that was, you know, that was T.O. taking strong safeties and making them linebackers, taking linebackers and making them defensive ends, taking defensive ends, making them D tackles, so on and so forth. But you had to be able to run. Like, literally, like when you looked at, like, say, the 95 defense or whatever, I mean, they would kind of, you know, even when you listen to the announcers, if you watch a game or something, they'd be like, well, the only two real, you know, guys that can't quote unquote run, you know, would be like D tackles, you know,
but everybody else on the field could fly, you know, like could catch running backs running down the field. You know what I mean? Like, you had to be able to run. Speed is the most important thing. And then, you know, you obviously combine that then with guys that are strong and smart and know how to play football and do the little things right. And that's where you end up then having something where, you know, you're living in reality when you're talking about college football playoff. Yeah. It's not just some hype, you know, some dream. Cause it's great, you know, whatever, you can talk about it, but you better have the horses out there, and they better have the right mentality as well, because it's not just about having the horses, right? Like, you can have great players. You can go out and you can buy yourself a team of five stars, but if you don't have the right mentality out there, you know, right?
Like Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so yeah, that's good points there. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk about the magnitude of Nebraska against USC and how do you go about winning this game? Because I think that's probably something that not everybody knows what it takes, but we're going to let you know. Jay Foreman, Jason Peter, Austin, we'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Jason Peter, Austin Orman, Old School, Nebraska USC week. Just hazing the barn. I mean, essentially, you got one more practice tomorrow, but the physical practice is probably are over with. With that being said, Jason, the magnitude of this game, I think since we've kind of been able to be in these, and it's either in the front of your or the back of your mind. Talk about the magnitude of this game for Nebraska if they're able to push through and get the W.
Yeah, they need this one. Otherwise, you look at the whole schedule and you can't really boast about any of the win. Like, oh, that was a great win. Do you know what I mean? Like, right now, the best thing that they have is Cincinnati win. Right.
Yeah. Considering how they're playing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you want to hang your hat on something, you know, at the end of the year, you know, you got to beat USC here. And who knows how USC will finish. I mean, there have been years, I think, where he started them off well, and then they just
tanked
towards the end of the season. You know, he's still fighting for his job out there.
Yeah.
But just in terms of what's on our table right now, USC. I mean, you know, the next game is always the biggest game, but when for us, you know, as old retired guys looking at it, you know, you really needed Michigan. That one was for the taking. We should have won that. You know, USC. Is Iowa or anybody ranked at this point?
Iowa might be ranked.
Iowa might get there.
By the time we play them,
right,
they'll most likely be ranked.
Yeah. You just need it for your confidence as well, for your team. I mean, you know, there's a lot of – I mean, everybody can admit there's a lot of talk that comes out of the stadium down there. They're good at that. But the talk, you know, people start to second-guess it unless you have some decent wins behind it. And, you know, you can't get to the end of the year and boast about, you know, beating Northwestern and beating Maryland and Michigan State. You know, those are games that, you know, especially you're talking NIL era now, right? Like we're paying more, you know, for guys than you need to win those games. And, you know, I'm not a huge, every game's going to come down to 3 points. I don't buy it. I think there's distractions that maybe cause kids to overlook, you know, games that they should win. You know, when you think about, you know, all the stuff that they're doing off the field and the whole branding and, you know, whether it's videos or whatever it may be, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can be a distraction. And, you know, just get a couple kids that are distracted from one, you know, a team going into one game and there you go. I don't really buy into the, you know, this is the Big Ten. Every game is going to be decided. If that was the case, then you take 3 points when you go down on Michigan on the opening drive and you take, right? I mean, if every game's coming down to 3 points, then you don't pass up when you have an opportunity to get 3 points.
Right. Yeah. 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 I never even thought. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely tough. the thing that it'll be interesting to see what team, like in particular this game, like who punches first.
Yeah.
You know, and what I mean is, we know this. We've been in this game. We've been in these games, whether it was Florida, whether it was Colorado, whether it was at Washington. You know, the mindset that you go on the road versus you're at home, or like 96 against Colorado, where the offense was kind of sputtering a little bit. We got to kind of get going. It'll be interesting to see the punch or be punched. I think Nebraska could get to the point where they, you know, like more than a field goal, like, you know, you go get off, and as long as you play good, you win by 8, 9, 10 points. Right. But I think there's a process to it, and it's a huge game. I think playing a like opponent, you know, their strengths could be our kryptonite. Our strengths could be their kryptonite. It's like, all right, now we're going to see, like, you're excited to get to play. Because there's a difference between when you like the competition, right, that means you want it. And then you're kind of, you know, we play guys like, all right, they just kind of like to play. When you love it, what is a big difference.
What do you think our strengths are going into this game?
Well, our strengths is our veteran back end, right? Against, you know, just Lincoln Riley and all his play calling.
But I think to your point from last segment, that can't be a strength unless you get penetration.
Right. So it goes hand in hand. You can have, I mean, I've played on defense where we had like really good DBs, like, you know, in Houston, and we couldn't sniff a quarterback.
Right.
You know, we would get lit up like Christmas tree.
Which then it doesn't matter who you got back there.
Right.
So in the back end,
you know, I think that's one of their strengths. And then offensively, you know, I just think their ability, well, when they're doing it right, they can play pitch and catch and kind of, you know, Moses their way. I don't think we've been as explosive as probably we'd like, but, you know, they got to be able to, I mean, Emmett's a strength for us.
Right. For sure.
And, you know, this is a game, you know, for, you know, Emmett, this is a game. I'm not like the most of these guys are on the radio. Anytime you do good, then you're a legend. But this is a game that you get remembered. Right. Big game. I remember my mom telling me, listen, the big games, you have to play good.
Yeah.
There is no
circumstances.
Right. So this is a game that where the superstars on our team have to play good. So I guess I would probably say, if I said a strength, would be Emmett, because he's consistent.
Yeah.
And then the DBs, just because they, you know, like by the numbers, have been pretty decent.
Best players got to play their best in the big games.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, Dylan needs to take care of the football. I don't need to see any lefty throws or any of that stuff, you know, trying to shovel it over guys' heads and stuff, because in these types of games, all that ball needs to do is get tipped, something, throw it off, and then it's going back the other way.
Yeah. Right? And that's the way that USC's defense, like, they like that. This high risk, high reward. We never had this where we kind of like didn't know.
Right.
We kind of knew we could depend on each other. Never was easy, but we kind of already been through this process. It'd be interesting to see, you know, it could bring out the best in you.
Yeah.
Or it could be like, all right, we got to still go back and work at it. It'd be interesting to see how the guys go out there and compete, because the coaches only can do so much.
Right.
You know, the guys got to take it and run with it.
Yeah.
And it's got to be everybody. It's got to be the special teams. It's got to be the backside corner.
Yep.
It's got to be,
it's not just one or two groups out there. It's everybody has got to be dialed in, and they got to know what to do. You can't have mental errors, can't have breakdowns. And, you know, everyone's got to be flying to the ball. And offense, you know, linemen need to finish blocks. They need to get on blocks. You know, running backs need to pick up blitzers. You know, all that stuff. Yeah. And special teams going to have to be a big part of it as well, too. I don't know if without special teams, if we necessarily would have enough.
Yeah.
Right. But you obviously have two or three guys that are returning balls that are threats that take it back to the house every time they touch it. So, I mean, if special teams locked into their blocks and give those guys a chance to get some open field and turn on the jets, you know, I think it's going to take all three phases for us to come out on top on this one.
You mentioned distractions real quick. How do you think that we would have done? Well, first of all, if they had social media, we'd have been, they probably wouldn't have
Iguanas. You would have only won two national titles.
Iguanas would have been off limits. How do you think you would have reacted or dealt with NIL? Because you had the Peterbilts, you and Christian, the D-line. Obviously, we were winning. You know, we'd like to think we'd have been locked. I mean, I know the way that you're wired, we would have probably said, we want to show you and get more.
Right.
How do you think you would have handled that?
I mean, it's like the stuff that I would always tell, like, Ty and Nash. I'd be like, look, we're not chasing. Like, NIL money is great, right? But that's not the money we're chasing. Like, you ultimately want Sunday money.
Yeah.
And to do that, you got to put in the work now, right? Like, if you get caught up in trying to make every extra dollar that you can here, then forget it. That's going to be where your focus is. For us, you know, like, it's just so different, right? Right now, like, all these guys are buddies with a lot of the guys from the media, you know, especially the recruiting guys.
Yeah.
They have relationships. Compare that to us, whereas we didn't want anybody to know what we were doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, we just didn't. And there was part where, you know, media was kind of not necessarily our enemy, but like, there was an aspect of, you know, you can't fully trust them.
Yeah.
They'll get, you know, they change one or two words of what you said, and it just changes the whole way that the article reads. But, you know, we were also taught by T.O., like, look, whoever we're playing this week is the best opponent that we've played. They're dangerous. If we don't play our best, then we're beatable, you know. And it just, you know, like, it might have been boring, but it kept the focus on just what we were doing from the time we walked into meetings to the time that we walked off that practice field. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything, like, we were just so consumed with winning championships.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was never about, like, looking at the schedule and being like, okay, we get that game. Like, it was just like, okay, this is who we have to run through in order to achieve, you know, our goal. And that was it. And, you know, our mindset, even when we left, I say it all the time, when we left the stadium at night, you know, like, obviously for some, you had, you know, the homework and academics that you had to take care of and do that stuff. But like, when you left, your brain was still wired football. It was football, football, football. And you were thinking, whether it was about practice earlier that day, or you were thinking about what you were going to see on Saturday from, you know, the offensive line or from the quarterback. And I just don't know if they have that same mindset because of all the distractions now that they have.
Yeah. I don't think it's just Nebraska. I think these kids are just not, I mean, cause I don't think any of them watch, you know, Dallas against the Giants start from finish.
Right.
Cause there was times that we'd be watching games and, you know, we were for Charlie and them would be running the defenses that we'd see on TV.
Yeah.
So we'd see, you know, whatever D lineman or watch old Nebraska players start to finish. And that's just part of it. Cause everything's like real quick, like Sports Center and you know, social media, but
they'd rather just see some of the highlights on the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching Cam Scataboo do an interview, and they were asking him, you know, about like who he grew up following or whatever in the NFL or some of his favorite players. And he literally like didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't pay any attention to NFL football.
Yeah. Cause you know why? Cause he's too busy watching his own highlights. Yeah. Hey, look at my run. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's crazy because real quick, they compare him to Mike Allstott. Right. I played against Mike Allstott.
Yeah.
Yo, homeboy was for real.
Yeah.
Like Mike Allstott was, cause Scataboo's all right. Mike Allstott is for real.
We've now had Warwick Dunn and Mike Allstott. Need to find a saint to talk about in the next segment.
Heath Evans, Big Heath. Yeah, Big Heath. And they had, like, was it John Conrad? He was in your draft class, right?
They had Ironhead was down there for a while.
Yeah.
I know when I first got into the league.
Yeah, so it's a different kid. People always ask me about it. I was like, I think we would have probably tried to get more, you know, kind of prove ourselves.
But you also had Coach Osborne, who would have made sure that, like, that wasn't he would remind us, I'm sure, every day that, look, getting every cent and milking every penny out of this state and out of this program is not the objective here. Do you know?
Yeah, he would have probably been like Nick Saban with
– Absolutely.
Was it Bryce Young and Will Anderson kind of kept them in line? It worked out for them. They went, what, number one and number three?
Yeah.
In draft. So, I mean, it still can be done, but it'd be, you know, it was really interesting to see. We're going to take a quick break, come back, put a bow on this bad boy. Jason Peter, Jay Foreman, Austin, we'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Jason Peters. Stepping in for this hour. Goes by too quick. We got to get this extended. We got to get, when DP gets back, we got to get on it. But, Jason, give us one or two players that have to, everybody has to play good.
Right.
But the guys that have to play, it's like no way they can't not play good and Nebraska plays and wins.
I think you need, obviously, one of the ends, probably Nwari. Somebody's got to get some sort of pressure, right, when he throws. Then you're going to need, and I saw something where it looks like Judy is playing almost twice as many snaps as any other interior down lineman. He obviously is going to have to play well and be stout, you know, in the middle. Linebackers are going to be huge, obviously, in this game. Javen, who played great. I thought probably played his best game last week, right?
Yeah, he's been playing really good.
Yeah. He needs to continue to play well. You know, on the offensive side, you know, you're dealing with they've got good athletes on that side of the football. Yeah. They're on defense, SC. They got, you know, athletic defensive linemen. So, you know, the whole unit's gonna play well. Dylan obviously, you know, can't be lazy with the football. I mean, it's hard to pick one, just a couple, because I think in this type of game, it's going to take an entire team effort. But you know, and especially the way that it's hard, I think, for, you know, the front seven, the way that they play a lot of things now. You know, whereas when we would get reached as a down guy by the offensive line, we would fight that pressure. Like, if they're trying to get to my outside shoulder, I'm fighting, you know, that's my kind of strong point there. I don't want him to be able to turn on me, you know, and get that edge. Whereas now, like, they almost don't care as much about fighting that and keeping your shoulders square down the line of scrimmage. They would rather just let the offensive lineman kind of pass them by and then just get up the field.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, but you know how that is. I mean, you know, now you're putting a 300-pound guy, you know, trying to match the athleticism of a 210 super athletic tailback, you know, and counting on him making the play. If he's not already past the point where, you know, you're getting upfield, do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, I know that.
So, you know, there's a lot of things in the ways that they're teaching them how to play. I'm sure that has benefits in some areas, but, you know, kind of can hinder you in against other plays. But, I mean, I think Judy needs to play a game that he hasn't played yet this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing from my experience, I always go back to when, we played Colorado up there, I think in 97, I think, or whatever, is that when you guys got started, then it allows everybody else to finish.
Right.
You know, first play of the game or whatever, you know, first couple series, you want to get off early, get that out the way, and then get down and handle business. I think second level, whoever's playing, whether it's linebackers, nickels, all those, they got to do a really good job tackling. But more important, I think they have to have, like, no mishaps in communication.
Right.
Because I think that allows the D-line to play better.
Yeah.
And then obviously allows the DBs, the second level, can control how, like, over aggressive or panic mode the DBs are.
Right.
Because you're handling, I'm doing some things maybe extra. It allows them to make plays. Cause I do think if the game gets tight, you'll get a chance to make a play, like an interception or something. You just got to get there. And that's the hardest part against their teams, cause they're so explosive.
What do you think, Butler? I mean, going off of the Minnesota loss and Rule kind of being critical of him, saying it was too vanilla.
Yeah.
I mean, you obviously have to be somewhat balanced, right? You can't
You can't run, you know, zero blitz every time. You can't run man every play. You can't run zone every play. But like more aggressive. Yeah.
I think real quick before, like for him, I think this game might be easier to call for him.
Right.
Because this is like an NFL game, you know, like where, you know, I mean, he was a DB coach with Kansas City, both in Houston and Buffalo. Yeah. So he can probably draw back on that stuff. So I think you're going to see a little bit of a mix. I think this Minnesota makes it hard because, you know, you might be watching like, dang, I got eight guys in the box.
Right.
Dude running. Like, so we'll see. Anyways, always too short. Appreciate Jason coming down there. Yep. We do not appreciate the traffic.
No.
But we do appreciate Darren Erstead and Derek Dukart.
Yes.
Donating to the Darren, we love you, man. We got, you know, we got to make this more often.
Yeah.
Jay Foreman, Jason, Austin, we'll holler.